No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keaton, flight training professionals. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, we got a lot to cover on today's Halloween edition of Just Plain Radio. For instance, I got to ask Ed and Keith, and we'll get their answers later on. What is the scariest flight you've ever had?
That's easy for me.
And that was when he was flying with me.
Yeah, I was going to say, every flight with you.
Okay. Well, you weren't supposed to answer. That was called a tease.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
All right. So we'll get
I'll make something up then.
Okay. That's fair enough. All right. Before we get to that, however, I was, I'm watching Facebook this week, and I saw a video pop up on my timeline from an old friend of mine named Randy. And Randy is on Just Plain Radio now via the phone. Randy, how are you, my friend?
I am very excited to be here.
Yes. Well, I'm happy to have you. It's been a long time since we've chatted, but, you know, literally, I've known Randy my entire life. I mean, when I was like,
You have my sympathy, Randy.
Well.
You weren't there.
That's true. See?
But I'll accept it.
Yeah. You know, like 10 years old, you know, we were terrorizing the streets of Ohio and Cincinnati, you know. So we kind of ruled the world back then. And, you know, but we've stayed in touch over the years. And, of course, you know, now you got Facebook. You see these things pop up in people's lives, birthdays, that kind of thing. And Randy has a birthday, and a video pops up on my timeline of him and his latest birthday gift, which was a Discover flight. Up there where you live now, which is New York City, the big city. Is that right, Randy, or what?
I'm living in Connecticut right now, but this actually took place on Long Island at Republic Airport, which is, halfway up into Long Island. And my wife got it for me. And it was something I've always wanted to do. It was one of those bucket list things. I want to fly a plane.
Nice.
And, Greg, I'm following in your footsteps because, good Lord, you know, there's all sorts of things that you're doing that I'm, you know, a few steps behind. But finally, I had this bucket list thing, and it was amazing.
Well,
does that mean you're done flying already, Randy?
Oh, be quiet, you big dummy. All right, first of all, you'd be following my flight path. And what Keith is alluding to is that you probably don't want to do that because I started taking my flight lessons with these two, and I haven't been able to finish them yet. It wasn't their fault. It wasn't my fault. It was life got in the
it
way.
It was the ass fault.
Okay. We'll go with that. Maybe. Yeah, see, this is
it's
kind
a brutal
of
a show, Randy. Brutal
that's,
show.
That's fun. I like it.
You know, I traded up. When I was kids, I had Randy and Marky. Were my two partners in crime. And now I got Ed and Keith, and they bust my balls exactly the same way as they did back in the day. But anyway, let's talk about your Discover flight, because it is pretty cool. The video's awesome. There's, you know, you got Steve Miller, Fly Like an Eagle, in the background. You can't hear any audio from the headsets and stuff, but you can see Randy's expression, which pretty much says it all, especially when you leave the earth. And your mouth just goes, whoa! I mean, was that pretty much?
The quote was, holy crap.
Okay. that sounds good. Now, explain what happened as far as, like, how much training went into it before you actually, got in the seat and took off.
Well, we did the whole walk around the plane. He showed me the right and left flaps, I'll get this wrong.
Aileron.
Ailerons. Yes.
Thank you. I get that form of the word. Mm-hmm. And you know, the flaps and the you know, how the pedals worked and the, you know, the steering and the whole thing and the lights of the left and right lights and what they meant in the back. And they basically did the whole walk around with the fuel. And then, you know, pretty much, you know, gave me the, you know, put the strap, the headsets on, and he said, let's go for it.
Let's go. And, I mean, you obviously weren't flying the plane on takeoff, but you seemed like you were when you made that expression of, holy crap. Well, I mean, was it just the feeling of taking off like that that got you, or just the idea like...
Oh, don't be so quick.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I took off. You, that
what?
Was me.
That was you flying.
That
you
was
had
me.
How's that possible? Was that totally illegal, Ed, or what?
No, it's illegal.
You can have some schmo that doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I just didn't trust you.
Okay, oh. First of all, schmo. Now I'm definitely on Ed and Keith's side. Okay, fine.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. No, it was me. I accelerated.
And he said rotate.
He just said, you know, yeah. Okay, start pulling back. And I started pulling back, and it was all me. You know, because he told me that ahead of time. He goes, I will be landing. You're taking off. And I go, okay, you must know what you're doing.
Well,
it was seriously out of this world. It was one of the most exhilarating things I've jumped out of two different perfectly good airplanes skydiving.
Okay.
I've been, and this, the only thing this compares to is lifting off in a helicopter. It was just one of those things like, you've got to be kidding me.
You've already done that too. You've marked the helicopter thing off a list.
The helicopter was one of my former life. Yes,
wow.
I did a few things. I've been in a hot air balloon. Again, nothing matched this. The helicopter would be the closest thing, but then I wasn't in charge.
I got you. Was that when you were hobnobbing with all these big superstars? I mean, he works with like the I want to name drop, but I don't know if I should, because he like you hang with all these big Hollywood stars. Stars, Randy.
I've had the opportunity to work with and to meet and to hobnob with a few famous people.
Yes.
It's been fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll leave it at that. But so it's probably their private helicopter is what I'm alluding to here.
The helicopter was over the. I think we were up over the Chesapeake Bay. We were
wow
over the Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah. Sweet. All right. Well, let's get back to the flying thing.
Okay.
I haven't marked the helicopter thing off the list. It's still on my list. So you got that one on me. But this one, I'm a little bit ahead of you on the flying thing. But you got this Discover Flight in. The type of plane you were flying was a Piper or something. Because it was
yes,
a low wing.
That sounds right.
So, but you don't know what model it was offhand, I guess.
Oh, good
right?
Lord. I really don't.
Okay. So it was a Piper, and you guys took off. You actually took off, and then he let you fly the plane around a little bit. Did you guys fly around the New York skyline or just stay in Connecticut or what?
We were 45 minutes in the air. Mm-hmm. We went. I asked him if we could fly north. Over the Long Beach.
Long Island.
We were on Long Island, but we were going over the Long Island Sound.
Okay.
Because Connecticut and Stamford, which is where I live, let's just fly that way so I can see it all from the air. And yes, it was such a pristine day that the skyline of Manhattan was right there, and it was stunning.
Sweet. So,
yeah.
I mean, you went around and you just did a bunch of sightseeing. You can see the video, and you obviously gave him the controls at one point so you could take some selfies.
Correct.
And pictures and that kind of thing. So
right.
It was a nice little sightseeing flight, but you did actually take the controls and fly it around. Did he make you do any maneuvers?
I banked it. I was turning to the right, and then I did the whole turnaround over Long Island Sound, which was, again, I learned. It was so great. I mean, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And I learned that, you know, when you're banking the plane, you have to bank back the other way to straighten it back out. You know, things that, you know, I just thought, well,
it should just work that way.
Just let go and rolls out.
Yeah. Where's the autopilot? You just press a button and it's supposed to do that. But no, you have to actually fly these things.
What I was actually also stunned by was how. Well, I'm certain it's difficult, and certainly if I were to have stared at all the knobs and gauges, I would have my head would have exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It was relatively easier than I thought it would be.
Yes.
That's what most people say. You know, when I come back from one of those flights, I said, okay, is it harder or easier than you thought? Most of them come back and say it was a lot easier than they thought it was.
Well, look, if I've been able to do that, well, you know me for years now, Randy. How hard can it possibly be if I've been doing this for a while?
I give you a lot of credit. I think you're the smartest guy in the world next to me.
Okay. All right. See, that's what we've been
Marky,
for
Marky, a distant third, and then Ed and Keith are going to be down on the list as well.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. So do you got the bug now, Randy? Did this Discover Flight, whet your appetite to actually become a certified pilot, you think, or what?
I believe that that is absolutely something that I would love to do, whether it's going to happen anytime soon. I'm the king of the house with a three-year-old, or I should say he's the king of the house.
Right. Yeah.
So my son Samson is now the one who's going to be probably dictating that I won't be doing that anytime soon. But yes, at some point I absolutely would love to, because, you know, good Lord, it was the greatest thing in the world.
Well, it is a cool thing to do for sure, and obviously it's a great gift, and that's what you discovered, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So was it a total surprise, too, or did you know it was coming up? Did she, like, totally wing it, literally, and say, hey, guess where we're going today?
When it was presented to me, which was not on the flying day, but when it was presented to me, it was a complete surprise, and I was so excited because, again, this is one of those things. Listen, I've scuba dived once.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've flown a plane once. So waiting for the appropriate time.
We'll make it happen. And then we'll go flying together and then rub it into our buddy Marky back in Cincinnati.
He'll hate that.
Oh, he will. But that's just what we do. And we got more on our special Halloween edition coming up next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I'm so scared.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
Halloween, Halloween.
This is Just Plain Radio. It is Halloween. So happy Halloween to you. Are you scared? You should be. Look, you know, you're flying with us. As we navigate the latest aviation news and information.
They're flying with you. That might be scary.
Well, it could be. You know, better me than Randy. He's only done a Discover flight. At least I've done more than that. Right? I mean, come on.
Okay, so, maybe.
Yeah, so.
But I bet he's flown more recently than you.
Wow.
Well, that would be correct.
And love it when Dennis comes on the show.
Yes, and Dennis has joined the crew, and I almost wonder why. I'm thinking maybe we should have kicked him out or made him jump, you know, knock off that, you know, that skydiving bucket list item that Randy was referencing, Dennis. But regardless, okay, so it is Halloween, so I figured, why not? Why not we go there? Why not we talk today about the scariest flights you've ever had? What other day would be more appropriate than Halloween? Am I right, Ed?
I guess.
Yeah. So do you want to lead? Do you have a scary flight?
No,
that you
I don't
want
to lead.
That other people can learn from?
I need to see your logbook, and I could tell you which one it was.
Yeah, okay. All right. I knew that was coming. All right. Actually, Dennis, I talked to him before the show, And I told him about this idea, and I figured if anybody would have one, he would. And he pulled one right out of his, he pulled one right out.
Pulled it out of my logbook.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's what he did. Okay. So your scariest flight was what, Dennis? Share.
Was flying in a little Cessna 150 on one of these beautiful, muggy summer days, and mm-hmm. was heading from Duluth to Minneapolis to go meet up with some friends for the night. And so I was climbing out to about 6,500 feet and leaning it out in the climb because, you know, of course, in a Cessna 150, you don't have a lot of excess horsepower, so you want to make sure you're leaning during the climb. And everything was great. I pushed the nose over to level off for cruise, and the engine starts to surge.
Hmm.
Things got exciting very fast. I pulled the carb heat out, and it got worse. Mm. So I put it back in. It didn't get any better. And then I pulled it back out, left it out, and then it quit entirely.
Oh.
At this point, I made a quick call to air traffic control and said, I don't need the heading for Minneapolis anymore. I see an airport directly underneath me, and I'm going to make the field. And I immediately dumped all the flaps, pitched the nose over, put a left pedal and right aileron to slip as much as I could.
Yeah.
And on the way back down, the engine came back to life. So we figured it was probably carb ice on the climb that had basically, you know, I didn't notice it. Normally, you would see that, you know, engine roughness during the climb because as the carburetor started to ice up, the engine might have started to get a little rich. Well, I was already compensating for that in the climb by adjusting the mixture, so I didn't notice until I pushed over and set for cruise power.
Hmm. Yeah, you reduced your amount of fuel going through, and the restriction, you know, choked it off.
Exactly.
That makes total sense.
So when the engine came back to life, you know, I was like, all right, I've got the field made. I went ahead and made a normal circuit approach landing, and then, you know, thoroughly ran up the airplane and checked the sumps and everything. Everything checked out. There was nothing wrong. I flew the airplane back to my home airport, got in my car, and drove to Minneapolis.
Well, you didn't trust
after it? Stopping for a change of pants.
Exactly. Okay. All right. So that sounds kind of scary, but it sounds like he handled it properly.
Yeah, sounds like handled it.
He went
great.
Into emergency procedures. Now, the airport, though, that you landed was not your home airport.
It was not. Ironically, it's my wife's hometown. Would happen to be right under my wing, but I didn't meet her for two more years. So it was nice to know that was there for me.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So, I mean, is that what he should have done as far as...
Absolutely.
But the leaning is what caused it to freeze up?
No. It was carburetor ice.
Yeah.
You do remember what that is.
Yeah, I do. But if it didn't give him any signals that it was freaking out on the climb... out
because he had full power and he was feeding as much fuel to it as he can. The carb ice I experience has been on climb up after a prolonged descent, you know, so it the ice is building up because of the moisture, mm-hmm. and it's starting to restrict the flow, and when he throttled back, there's less fuel flowing through there, so what fuel was flowing got choked off and killed the engine.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty scary. Or at least, you know, like I said,
there'd be a significant pucker factor for any one of us.
The first time I've flown an airplane where the engine wasn't making noise. I mean, it really did fully die. I mean, the engine prop was still windmilling, so that was very disheartening to look out in front of you and you could see the blade spinning, but there was no noise. And you know, you immediately pitch for best glide and start looking at your options. And yeah. I had two choices. I could go for Interstate 35, which would have been a bucket list item, on the freeway. Okay. Or the more appropriate answer, I had the field in sight. I mean, I was right off of the approach end. I had to actually dump a ton of altitude in order to make that field. Mm. So I was pretty confident. And I'm here today, so clearly, you know, it's not a major problem when the airplanes lose power. You just follow your checklist, follow your procedures, follow your training. And the outcome is perfectly fine.
Yeah. Well, what do you think you took away from that, other than your life?
Trust in your skills. Okay. Trust in your training.
That makes sense. All right. So, a scary flight turned into a...
learning experience.
Exactly. Now, what about you, Keith? Do you have such a thing? Could you share a scary flight for this Halloween? Or no? Would you?
Well, you know... There's been a few flights where I've had just a couple things happen.
Right. Just a couple. Okay.
I hear Ed snickering in the background. I think probably the... I'll just share one of them.
Okay. And, that's all you need to do.
I, I had a de-icing boot come off the right elevator of a Brasilia one time. And, you know, we had no idea what it was. We were coming from Fort Lauderdale and descending into Key West many years ago. And the airplane just started a vibration. It started in the back of the airplane and worked its way forward and stopped. And a couple of seconds later, started vibrating again in the back of the airplane, worked its way forward and stopped. And I was a new pilot for the airlines at the time. And I was actually flying the airplane and was flying with a captain who 3 months earlier had done a gear-up landing because the landing gear wouldn't come down. And so he was just a little bit on edge, to say the least. And he was making a PA to the folks in the back.
Yeah.
And he immediately
like,
stopped.
Quit moving. Said,
what did you do? And I said, I pressed descend. And so anyway, we landed in Key West without incident. And the de-icing boot had come off on the right elevator. It was attached at both ends, but in the middle, it was just flopping up and down. And on the Brasilia, the stall warning horns and the sensors and everything are on that right elevator. And so we were getting the stick shaker, which, you know, we don't have in the Cessnas, but in Part 25 certificated airplanes, they have a warning. You have a horn. We have this, the yoke begins to shake and rattle and make all kinds of noise.
Okay.
And letting you know you're getting close to the stall. And so that can get a little bit...
a little scary.
The pucker factor can go up.
Yeah. You know. And at the end of it, you needed a change of shorts as well. But luckily, you were landed in Key West where you don't need any clothes. And so he painted himself up and he was good for Duval Street. And all worked out well. How's that for a mental image for Halloween?
Scary.
Hello, Fantasy Fest!
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And Dennis helping us out to round out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information on Halloween. We're talking about scary flights. Why not? Right? And so for me, my pick for my scariest flight was really not while I was flying. It was when I came back after I had landed. And I'm on the tarmac walking back to the offices of Flight Training Professionals after my first solo. And I passed Maggie, who's one of the flight instructors on staff. And she looks at me, and I'm all proud of myself after I just did three go-rounds and stop-and-goes and that kind of thing. And she goes, "Hey, Greg, that was a pretty interesting 360 you did there on the final." And I kind of like, yeah. And kept walking, go, oh, crap. And then when I got in the office, Ed is on the phone. He's screaming at the tower. And then
you
that's when it
got. You stole my story.
Really? That's what made, that would be make your scariest flight?
Yeah, that was actually.
He wasn't screaming at the tower. He was screaming at the controllers.
At the controllers for making you do that at 300 feet on final.
Well, if you'd been.
Because they're stupid.
Okay, but if he would have been screaming at the towers, then, you know, we'd locked him up, put him away.
Yeah. No, actually, that was your second solo.
That was my second solo.
That was your second solo.
That's, okay, see, I don't even remember. Yeah. I was so scared.
But you know, it's kind of interesting because most people don't remember their second solos. I don't remember mine, but you remember yours.
I will always remember my second solo.
That was a scary story turned good.
Yeah. And only because I did a 360 at like 500, you know, feet or
about
so.
About 300 feet.
Or about 300 feet, depending on.
Followed by a go-around.
Because, which was good.
Yeah, which should have been done in the beginning, and the controller should have told you to go around because of, you know, errors on their part.
When I did the 360 and I'm looking down at the ground like, wow, that looks a lot closer than I think it should be. Don't lose any more altitude. Yeah, that was a little scary. But I, actually, even then, I wasn't really that nervous about it. until, you know, like I said, Maggie pointed it out, and then, like, it went, uh-oh. Had a delayed bowel response, so still had to change pants like everybody else in their stories. More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
The landing is your first impression. It's your superhero handshake.
We were all meant to fly. Spread your wings across the universe. Soon you'll find that it's your time to fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And Dennis is also helping us out today as we're your crew. Now, it is Halloween. We're talking about our scariest flight experiences, because it's obviously an appropriate day to do so. And I think what we're finding out as everybody shares their story is that the key to your scariest flight is to always wear khakis when you fly.
Khakis aren't dark enough. Brown corduroy would probably be best.
Okay, darker corduroy. Maybe so. Because, yeah, evidently after these flights you need a change of shorts or pants or dark brown corduroys. So... All right, so did I really take your story away, Ed, or do you actually have a scary flight you could share?
Well, he can't use that because that's your story.
That's
that
right.
Yeah, I've got to make something up new.
Okay, you got to make something up. You've never had a scary flight.
I know he had a few with flying with me.
Yeah, well, we're not going to go into that story. It's been talked about too many times.
Oh, is that the one with the Little John? It leaked or something? Or
No, that's
another story that we weren't supposed to talk about.
You're talking about another person's flight with Keith.
Oh, am I? Okay. All right.
All right. Which would be interesting to have him on the show sometime, too.
Interesting. All right.
But, okay. Mm-hmm. Scary? Nah, maybe not scary, but surprised.
Okay,
I've been
so
surprised.
You were startled.
And put in situations that I didn't think I would get into, which really is actually kind of stupid on my part.
Hmm.
I trusted people I shouldn't
have
trusted.
No, wait, hold on. This doesn't involve me.
No.
Okay, thank God.
No, this
right.
this
he
goes
doesn't
back.
Trust you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't trust you anyhow, so
okay.
No, but there was a time when I was a young flight instructor and didn't know any better, and this airline pilot came in and he worked for Delta and he was going to get a checkout in one of our 172s and I made some assumptions. And that put me in a situation that I didn't expect to be in, and I had to react quickly. And afterwards, I was kind of like, "Wow, I shouldn't have trusted him."
Hmm.
50 feet off the runway in a full stall on landing because he was flaring too high. And nobody ever shared with me as a young instructor, "Don't trust airline pilots." No offense, Keith. That they fly big airplanes and they have different perspectives and they aren't used to flying the small airplanes.
Yeah.
And so I was put in a situation where, I was scared, but I had to react immediately to take over the controls when I really didn't expect to.
Hmm. What was his reaction? Was he startled at that point, too?
Yeah, he had a dose of humble pie that day.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing is, I give Keith a hard time about being an airline pilot, but he's always stayed involved in small airplanes. And it's when they haven't been involved with small airplanes for years, and they come back and they try to fly a small airplane. Oh, I fly for Delta. I fly a $20 million jet. What do you mean I have to spend, 2 hours with you on a checkout?
Hmm.
So I always warn new instructors to be careful about that because they could put you in a situation that you're not ready for. And that caught me by surprise. And I guess they could say that's a scary story.
Mm-hmm. So in that situation where he almost stalled or didn't?
Yep.
And so you just took the nose back down and got back down on the runway, I guess?
Go around.
You did, okay.
Remember, go around is always the best option.
All right.
So. To my flight controls, I do believe because my arm was in behind the seat, which is I never do again, I do believe I cocked him on the headset ear with my elbow.
You whacked him one.
Yeah, that got his attention too. So I think it was a literal humble whack as well as a figurative.
So it's a subliminal smack across the face is what you'd...
Yeah, I knocked some sense into
involuntary
him when I took
movement.
The chills. And I knocked some sense into myself because I don't sit like that in an airplane anymore because I need to be ready in any time to take over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Understood.
Or render a dope slap.
Yeah.
Or is it a dope slap or a bee slap? Either one. It depends on how you feel that day, I guess, right? Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, that's kind of scary. All right. So those are experiences that you guys specifically have had. What about some people that you're aware of or you've heard of this other type of thing? Are there any elements like this, a scary flight, that we could actually talk about and we could learn from? I mean, obviously, we're learning from that. Is not to just take a pilot's, you know, word for it if he says he has tons of experience. I guess that kind of goes into the whole, you know, they're bold pilots and old pilots, but there's not bold old pilots kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you want to check their logbook. You want to kind of really know what they're doing. Or if a pilot is bragging about his experience, that's usually a red flag signal right there. Am I right?
Yeah.
Is that fair too, Keith? You would agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So most pilots are humble. Is that what we're trying to say? Because that doesn't seem right either.
Well, you know,
it depends. Are we at the hangar flying, or are you at the office?
That's right. Yeah.
True. If you're around a bunch of non-aviators, then you would brag like you're like I'm a superhero. Are you kidding?
Kind of like you do.
I fly around the world.
Greg's probably comes off as an airline pilot, right?
Well,
all that experience.
Well, that kind of goes with the territory. That's part of the that's one of the many benefits of becoming a pilot. You can brag to your friends and say, you have to stay on the earth, you little peon human. I'm super! You know, but, you know, that kind of thing. You can do, I can fly!
Well, my son does that, and he's, you know, just a solo pilot right now. You know, he goes to school wearing a T-shirt that says, trust me, I'm a pilot.
Well, of course. I mean, does he wear a cape as well, or no? He's not going that far?
No, he's watched The Incredibles. No capes.
No capes. Okay, got it.
No capes.
But yeah, I mean, you can brag to your non-aviator friends, but if you're amongst other aviators, that doesn't really fly, literally.
We're the first to knock you down a notch or two.
True. And as far as instruction or learning, you know, to fly a new plane, that's usually a red flag from a trainer standpoint, too, right, Ed?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's trouble. Least you
if anybody comes up to you and says, hey, I, you know, just give me the keys, I can fly this, I know everything, that's the person that you don't want in that cockpit.
Exactly.
Because you don't know everything.
The day you stop learning is the day you should stop flying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
If you think you know
it all. Probably the most dangerous thing you could ever have is two instructors flying the airplane together, each one thinking the other one knows what they're doing.
Ooh. So what happens when Ed and Keith get in a plane together?
That's why we're not talking about those flights.
I was going to say, it very rarely happens. Am I right, Keith? Or do you
guys? No, actually, you know, we actually fly together. You know, lately we haven't, but, you know, we have flown together quite a bit. But, you know, when we get in the airplane together, we always brief, you know, who's doing what.
Who's pilot command? Well, just like that briefing we make you give. You're the pilot command, I'm the flying pilot. You know, mm-hmm. we split up the work and we make sure we know who's doing what.
Yeah. And is there ever a fight over who is going to be the pilot in command?
No, I always am.
You know, Ed's got that control freak thing going, you know.
See, I knew I had to lead into that for him. He was going to go there anyhow.
Of course. Okay.
I was envisioning a rock, paper, scissors in the cockpit. Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors, Spock.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
Lizard Spock.
Lizard Spock, that's right.
All right, so when you're when you guys are flying together, Keith's always the pilot in command. That's what you just said?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Actually, you know, we do have a flight that we have to get in before too long, which technically I'm going to have to be the pilot command because he's not single engine current right now.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So I've got to
get his
crazy back.
How will that go? Well, are you...
I'll still sit back and do nothing. So it's like normal.
But you'll yell at him constantly and just kind of ride him like a bull kind of thing, like, all right, get it right.
No.
You won't just do that just to needle him to have fun as being his flight instructor for... Come on, I thought that's like bragging to your friends that are on aviators. Isn't that part of the benefit of being you know, the pilot in command, knowing that you can needle and, you know, stab your buddy in the side and twist it around a little bit just for your own amusement?
Only in your world.
Well, that's it's human nature, Ed.
We do
Come
that
on.
To you here. We don't have to do it to each other out there.
Are you going to go along with this?
Yeah, we don't do
this?
That to you in the airplane, are you?
Well, yeah.
No.
Well,
that's...
I feel it. You know, the thing is, when it happens,
that's also
posed. You don't have to say it for me to know, like, oh, God, I know how this Saturday is going to go. I get on the radio. God help us.
Hey, you were the one that started the whole thing. So,
well, that's true. I guess I brought it on myself. But
you kept saying, this is good radio.
Well, it is. It's good radio, but it's fun. And, I you know, it's worth the pain inflicted on me personally to go through this whole process of trying to learn how to fly. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to, you know, people like Randy, you know, seeing his video encourages me. We got our friend Tom who actually emailed me. We're going to try to hook up with him here in a little bit or maybe on next week's show. He emailed me, our buddy who was doing some training with
Tom Freeman.
Yeah. He's getting ready to do his IFR training.
Oh, cool.
And said, hey, look, I'm going to go into that.
Now that he has that airplane his brother bought him.
Exactly. He goes, but I hear you have been talking about getting back into your flight training. So I'll tell you what, I'll get into my IFR and use that as motivation for you to get your flight certificate as a private pilot. I'm like, that sounds great in theory. You know, everybody's emailing me and saying, hey, Greg, I'll challenge you to this. I'll challenge you. I don't need to be challenged. I've been called.
This is challenged, period.
Well, okay. That's kind of where I thought this was going to end up. All right, more coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like curvy spike with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
Let's spike with pain. This is Just Plane Radio. You know, that kind of hits home, literally. It's spiked with pain. What you were telling me during the commercial break, what was it, Tom?
No, Terry, his brother.
Terry.
He, you know, when I was talking to him about coming on the show that first time, and yeah. I said, he says, I've been listening to the show. I said, it's just, you know, three guys talking about airplanes. And,
right.
And he said, no, it sounded more like two pilots and a punching bag.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't think you're a punching bag, Ed. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Well, at least we know we listen to the show, right?
Yeah. Maybe I got that mixed up a little bit.
I don't think I'm the punching bag, Greg. I think if we have to explain that.
Yeah, if you have to explain it, then if you're not getting that, then you're probably, yeah, whatever. Okay. Well, Dennis, I know your son has been flying, Austin, and he is already certified. Is that the deal or no?
Nope, he is. He's just soloed. He's just been starting to do some more solo work. Him and the instructor were back at it again last week, and it was very interesting for me as a parent and as a pilot to be up at the airport watching your son doing, you know, takeoffs and landings, and then see the instructor come walking back to the airport hangar and, you know, the kids out in the pattern. And he got in his car and drove off.
what your son did, or the
instructor? He's like, you know, he's fine. He's just going to go do a couple more landings. I'm going to leave. You guys just put the plane away. So he has gotten to the point now that the instructor is comfortable that he does not need to supervise the solos.
No, that's good.
So now, you know, now it's up to Austin to just.
I don't ever remember Ed doing that with me. You ever leave? You never left.
No.
Yes, you would never allow that.
No, that's not true.
No? Just with me?
No, when you're on your cross country, I wasn't necessarily right there.
What?
Sorry.
Now I'm scared.
I had lunch while you were out flying.
Oh, that's not right.
Yeah, it was very good, actually. Okay. But I got a question for you, Dennis. And, you know, being a father, now my son is not into aviation per se. How did it feel? Was that scary, watching him solo the first time?
You know, at the risk of having my man card pulled, I had tears. I mean, I was sitting on our picnic table out in front of the hangar watching him taxi by. They had done a couple of, you know, practice landings. And I saw the airplane stop over by the fuel farm and a whole bunch of movement of the airplane. And all of a sudden, I see the instructor getting out with his bag heading my way. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just this. I can't believe this little kid that I brought home from the hospital is now flying my airplane alone. And it was just, it was really impressive watching that airplane take off the first time. And, you know, when he landed, he tried to make a big deal about, oh my God, you know, kiss the ground and everything. But he, I don't know that he's ever been so proud. I mean, he did it.
Yeah.
And it was a great, great big accomplishment for him that he had worked up to that and did all that training on his own. And now he practically lives at the airport. He just got a job working part-time at the FBO. Cool. And so he is up there every night. You know, he's servicing and parking Learjets and Falcons and gassing up 150s and driving fuel trucks.
That's a great way to start. I mean, both Keith and I did that in our careers at the early parts.
Oh, boy. Don't tell him that.
Yeah.
You want to encourage him. Don't tell him that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can understand your emotions of it because I would be the same way. That now my wife, on the other hand, she wouldn't even be able to know he was flying, let alone soloing.
It worked out really well. We kind of had an inclination that this was going to happen, and so my wife and daughter actually were driving up to the airport at the same time that he took off on that first flight. So they had just gotten out of the car as the airplane took off, and I'm like, he's alone, and my wife just about broke down. She couldn't believe it. So we all got to see it.
That's cool.
When I soloed, it was me. It was me and an instructor. My parents, you know, I was 20 years old, and, you know, nobody was down at the airport watching me do my first solo, which was probably good.
Yeah.
Didn't have that pressure. But, you know, it was really neat for us to see that that accomplishment for him.
Yeah. Well, that is kind of cool. And I'm not giving him his man card back, but I still appreciate the story.
Well, I mean, that's just because you finally got your hands on one.
Ouch.
Real nice. Nice, Ed. All right, so...
I'm sorry,
how
Greg.
Old is Austin? Just,
yeah, you know, the flow of things 16. Today.
He's 16, so he's done his... how many solos now?
He's got, I think, three solos since he did the initial one.
So how long does he got to wait? Can he get his... he can't get his pilot at 16, can he?
He can't until next May. He has to be 17 in order to take the private pilot check ride.
But by then, he'll have tons of experience, it sounds like.
Well, that's kind of what we hope, is that he can continue to fly through the Minnesota winter and at least, you know, work on, you know, some pieces of it and hopefully get his written and stuff out of the way this winter. Obviously, the priority for him is school, but, you know, if he can keep up on it all, he's just going to try to fit in what he can.
Yeah.
Cool.
I like it. So, do you think he's had any scary flight experiences so far, or is he still into the whole trick-or-treating? He doesn't want to think about that kind of thing.
When he was describing his first solo, I mean, he didn't have it really easy. At Flying Cloud Airport here in Minneapolis is actually a pretty busy general aviation airport. And we actually, they were not doing any touch and goes. Everything was full stop taxi backs. They were extending bases and calling, you know, extending downwinds, calling base. And he wound up getting everything thrown at him on that flight. They even, he said, they forgot about me. I had to actually call and because I was way farther than I'm supposed to be in the pattern and had to remind the tower that I was out there. And so he did, you know, extremely well. And for him, that was pretty stressful and probably the scariest thing he's had to do so far. And he did it very well, and we had no problems.
Well, there you go. So it sounds like you were more nervous than he would have been anyway, though.
He was plenty nervous. He said when the instructor got out of the plane, he's like, no, no, get back.
Don't go.
And watching him get in and fly, you know, subsequent times now, he has got so much more confidence that, you know, he's proven it to himself he can do it. And now it's just a matter of, you know, practicing it more.
Right. Getting more.
And the fun thing was flying with him one night. We went out to do some night currency and go look at the lights as if just to go do something fun.
Sure.
He's like, can I take it? And so from the right seat, he took the yoke, you know, onto the active. And I just sat back and let him fly. And I'll tell you, I was very impressed with his airmanship.
Cool. Very nice. Well, hey, when they get old enough to fly you around, you kind of feel like a rock star, you know, a chauffeur. That's the way you groom these kids.
Right.
And on that slightly disturbing note, we'll end it. Till next week, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.